This is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. Today is February 1st, the first day of Black History Month. This month we celebrate the achievements and contributions of Black Americans while also acknowledging their struggles in the ongoing fight for equality. Poetry can be a powerful form of art. It's been used throughout history to celebrate Blackness and push toward social justice. Poetry has a unique way of capturing emotions, happiness and pain, resistance, empowerment, and solidarity. Joining us today to talk about the power of poetry and to kick off Black History Month is Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Tahimba Jess. Jess has deep roots in Illinois. He's a graduate of the University of Chicago, a two-time member of the Chicago Green Mill Slam Team. He was Chicago's poetry ambassador to Accra, Ghana, and he taught for 4 years at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign and is now the poet-in-residence there. His work has won numerous awards, as I mentioned, including a Pulitzer Prize for his 2016 book of poetry, Olio. Tahimba, thanks for joining us. Welcome to the 21st.
Great to be here, and thank you for bringing me on the show.
So first off, I want to talk about your journey of becoming a poet, a Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, which we always say now. When were you first introduced to poetry?
You know, I was first introduced to poetry when I was a kid, but I really kind of developed the idea of being a poet or into poetry when I was living in the city of Chicago, to whom I owe a lot of debts, and I have a lot of shout outs for, like Gwendolyn Brooks, who I got to meet and got to bask in her incredible presence and her poetry. Angela Jackson, who's now the poet laureate of the state of Illinois, who I have a tremendous respect for. And then along the, probably when I was in college and coming out of college, I met Sterling Plump, who's an amazing poet who was teaching at the time at University of Illinois Chicago, who directed me into Chicago, into poetry, and really mentored me in a really amazing way. And then there were so many open mic spots like LitX with Kendall Lloyd and Spices, from which Love Jones was, the movie was based off of. So many other institutions that, you know, that served as learning places for me, like that were in Chicago, like the Guild Complex with Michael War and Luis Rodriguez, who started it. I'd say the Green Mill, of course, was a huge experience for me, especially Mark Smith and watching the original origins of the worldwide poetry slam that has affected millions of people around the world. I'd say Hot House with Marguerite, where I learned, which hosted so many literary events, the Chicago State University's Black Writers Conference, and Haki Madhubuti, who was just a tremendous influence with me with his institution, Third World Books. I'd say Freedom Found Books, where I used to work, sure, back in the day. Powell's Books, Chicago Department of Cultural Affairs that sent me to Ghana, WHBK FM Chicago 88.5, Edgar Epps. I got a long list. I'm going to do some shout outs here.
Well, we only have 11 minutes left. So,
Velvet Lounge, Checkerboard Lounge, Roses Lounge, Association for the Advancement of Creative Musicians.
Goodness.
You know, Bridget Pekin Kelly, who was at University of Illinois, Urbana, Illinois. So I have a lot of my poetic journey has been in the state of Illinois, and all those folks and more have been part of it. So always loved the state of Illinois, and particularly the city of Chicago.
Well, let me take a step back now and sort of look at poetry a little more broadly. I mean, throughout history, As I said in the introduction, poetry has been used as a way to celebrate and appreciate blackness. There have been a lot of greats. You mentioned Angela Jackson. I would point our listeners, we interviewed her when she was named Poet Laureate of Illinois late last year. Maya Angelou, of course, Langston Hughes, James Baldwin. In 2003, you wrote the book African American Pride, Celebrating Our Achievements, Contributions, and Enduring Legacy, which highlights the achievements of African Americans throughout the centuries. Why is it so important to honor Black history, not only in February, but more specifically, why is poetry and storytelling such a moving platform to celebrate Black pride?
Well, I would say that, you know, Black history is American history, is world history. If you don't understand Black history in America, then you really do not understand American history. And that goes on the international plateau as well. So, and for me, Black history is part of understanding who I am and how I am rolling through the world. So if you don't know where you come from, you ain't gonna know where you're going. So I really am deeply influenced. History plays a huge part in my understanding of poetry. Poetry is a place where the imagination can fit in between fact and wish, and where you can create all kinds of nuanced understanding, a kind of understanding of history that you cannot really get from the history books. And poetry is there along through the centuries, telling us the story that is somewhere between the newspapers, the history books, the legislation, and actual human experience. So that is where poetry comes in.
It's really fundamental
to our understanding.
I like that idea of bridging fact and wish, you know, the way things are and the way things should be. Is that why poetry is become such a powerful tool of protest and social change?
Yeah, I think that particularly in African American literature, you know, poetry has a particular interest in history, because our history has been so mangled, so distorted, so erased for so many generations that I think you'll find that the African American poets have an interest in revisiting the past and re-understanding it and trying to make sense of it, and really trying to fill in some of the blanks that have been intentionally left out in the history books, things that we should have learned back when we were in elementary school. You know, so that is definitely I think an inclination that you'll find with a lot of Black poets and actually with a lot of poets of color.
If you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Pulitzer Prize-winning poet Taheem Bajess about the power of poetry through Black struggles and celebration. He's poet in residence at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Your book of poems, Olio, won the Pulitzer Prize in 2017. I understand you've prepared to read a poem from Olio. Do you want to introduce it first?
Sure. I'm just going to preface it and say that Olio is about the lives of African American creatives who were shaping their lives directly after the Civil War. So I'm talking about the period between, you know, 1865 and World War I, more or less. So it's a host of Black creatives who are doing amazing things and exercising their liberation through their art in many different ways. So this book is full of the kind of poetic portraits of various people. One of those people is a guy named William Boone, also known as Blind Boone, who is out of Missouri, who was born in 1865. His mother was a newly freed enslaved Black woman. And about 6 months after his birth, he caught encephalitis. So encephalitis is basically brain fever. Your brain will swell, and if it doesn't stop swelling, you will die. And the only real remedy that the doctor, the local doctor, had for to relieve the pressure on the brain at that time was removal of the eyes of this six-month-old infant. So this is from Blind Boone's perspective. It's called Blind Boone's Blessings. Bless the fever in that night, in the sixth month of my life. Bless the fever, for it gave me sight. It swole my brain to fit God's gift. It brought the hand that would lift each eye from my infant skull. Bless the sweat, my baby ball. Bless the horse that hauled the surgeon through dusk's dark, half drunk and swearing into mine. Bless the flame. It sterilized the metal of the spoon. Bless the path between lid and bone, slipped and slid by that instrument of my deliverance from sight. Bless the handling of the knife. Bless that night that gave me night. Wrapped it round my bloody face, whisper how I could be grace notes, arpeggios, a piano roll of sound, copying each note from everything around me. You see, I'm sure at first there was the hurt and the scalding pain. But then again, bless an infant's too short memory. All I know is what lies beyond light. I've learned this is what's right for this one right here. Yes, bless the fever. Then listen close. Spare an ear to this piano and shut your eyes close. So Blind Boone became a very famous ragtime piano player and lived a long and healthy life.
Fantastic.
Playing piano.
Tahima Jess, that was great. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. We only have a few minutes left. I want to ask about another example of poetry that's been getting a lot of attention lately. This is poetry used for activism, the young Black poet Amanda Gorman, who performed The Hill We Climb at the inauguration. Now she's going to be performing at the Super Bowl halftime show, or maybe it's the before the Super Bowl. But, I mean, can you talk about this moment that poetry is having now? And specifically, what did you feel as you listened to her words?
Well, I'm very happy to see Miss Amanda Gorman do her thing at the inauguration. I'm very proud of her accomplishments, and I know that she's going to have an amazing career of words and vision in front of her. So I'm very glad to see her doing her thing. And I believe she's going to be opening the Super Bowl. Is it going to be the pre-show?
Yeah, right, right.
The fact is that poetry is being lifted and being delivered to a new audience is nothing but positive. So I'm very glad for her and very glad for poetry.
And I have to mention, I mean, interesting to me that coming from the NFL, which just a few years ago was, you know, punishing its players for expressing, you know, solidarity with Black Lives Matter. So an interesting turn for them. I want to ask in just a minute or so we have remaining, you are the poet in residence at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. I don't know if you can talk just briefly about your role in that position. I see on April 6th at 7 at night, you're going to be doing a reading as part of your residency.
Yes, I will be. And it will be a return in a way for me to University of Illinois, Urbana, because as you said, I spent 4 years there. I'll be reading from Olio and perhaps some other poems along the way, and just talking about poetry and its role and the ways people can access poetry. So I'm really looking forward to it. And I hope that folks from the audience, your listening audience, will be able to tune in.
Tahima Jess is a Pulitzer Prize winning poet. His books include Olio, which we've been talking about and heard an excerpt or a poem from today. Tahima Jess, thanks so much for being with us today on the 21st. I really enjoyed our chat.
Thanks a lot, and shout out to Chi-Town.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. That is all the time we have for our program today. Before we go, I do want to make a pitch for joining our texting group. We heard some texts from listeners in our earlier segment about vaccines. You can join by texting the word TALK to 217-803-0730. Again, send the word TALK to 217-803-0730. The 21st is produced by Anna Casey and Ryan Wild. Chantal Vaca is our engagement producer. Our interns are Zainab Qureshi and Brielle Skullark. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Brian Mackey. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.